Welcome to the Manifesting Doll podcast. I'm Barbara Orban from No Diet Babe. I'm a spiritual mindset coach and weight loss expert. If you are a spiritual babe wanting to up-level your life around your body, health, wellness, spirituality, law of attraction and manifestation, then this is the podcast for you. I'm here to give you the tools, teachings, and strategies to manifest the body and life of your dreams. As spiritual babes, we know to focus on love as opposed to fear. So get ready to learn how to implement spiritual teachings to weight loss, wellness, and your daily life coming from a place of love and abundance. This is a celebration of how we can shift our inner perception of ourselves and watch our outer selves shift. You can become the best version of yourself, and I'm here to help. So let's get started. Hey babes, welcome to today's episode. Today's episode is going to be talking probably, I'd say, a little bit more about strategy stuff, like practical stuff, compared to some of my other more like mindset manifestation stuff. But I am going to try and tie that in there because that's pretty much what I believe in, is infusing law of attraction and manifestation into our weight loss strategies. But I do also have strategies to share with you around weight loss and around certain topics because I do have knowledge of these strategies and know that these strategies helped me a lot as well, combined with the mindset. But with strategy, like anything, any topic, and we're talking about strategy for any topic, is that if you don't have the mindset stuff in check and your energy backing up that strategy isn't aligned with the outcome that you want, meaning you're not a vibrational match, it's still going to feel like you're doing a lot of work and expending a lot of effort without necessarily seeing the results that you want. Or you may create negative relationships with the strategy itself. You may feel like life's really hard, etc., etc. So it's really important to have your mindset down pat if you're going to try any of the strategies that I speak of. But I'm going to go into that. But today I want to talk about what to do when you have a slow metabolism. Like I said, more from a practical standpoint, because I have some information that I want to share with you about that. And also, there are some of you that ask me a lot about macros, whether or not you should be counting macros, especially when it comes to the reverse dieting part, because a lot of people count macros for that. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. And so hopefully you enjoy this episode. So basically, I think that one of the biggest reasons why people struggle to lose weight from a practical standpoint is that people don't actually realize how much metabolic damage they have from dieting. So what that means is that when you diet, majority of the diets out there that I see people following in terms of fad dieting are putting them in quite a large calorie deficit or lowering their carbohydrates a lot. And what this does long term is actually cause metabolic damage. And don't freak out about the word metabolic damage, because it's always reversible, in the sense that there's ways to reverse it. Like, the body's amazing. It's not like metabolism is never this thing that you're stuck with. So people have this idea of metabolism that it's something you're born with and that it's genetic and that you're stuck with it. And it's not the case, because metabolism is something that's changing every day depending on what you're doing, because your body is constantly adapting to its it's circumstances. And so that's an awesome thing because you can use that to your advantage by increasing your metabolism when you have had metabolic damage from dieting. So what I see is, especially these days with intermittent, oh my God, I can't even say that word. I'm just going to say fasting because I think I'm a bit tired today and so I can't say my words. So fasting and things like keto can get problematic if that person already has metabolic damage, or I think if somebody does a certain diet, not to demonize anything, somebody does a certain diet without understanding what they're putting their body through, it can be an issue sometimes. And for example, with keto, because a lot of women have always been afraid of carbohydrates and putting themselves in a low carbohydrate diet, and then unfortunately having metabolic damage and having hormonal issues without realizing that a lot of hormonal issues are caused by the dieting. And so when it comes to things like thyroid and adrenal issues, I mean, there's evidence to show that low carbohydrate diets long-term mess with your thyroid. And so that already is one big chunk of evidence there that low carbohydrate diets mess with your metabolism and mess with your thyroid, mess with your hormones. Another thing is adrenal-wise, because dieting does affect your cortisol. It increases your cortisol and it does put your body into a bit of, if you're a chronic dieter and you're constantly dieting, you're constantly eating very low calories and low carbohydrates, which a lot of women are, I see this a lot, then you will have some issues long term with your adrenals, because your body goes into a state of shock when you're constantly dieting, and mentally too, because the dieting mindset does put a lot of stress. If I'm talking about like myself and what I went through, for sure, like, I mean, I've spoken about my story and wow, I put myself through a lot of stress. And so most definitely, like, of course you're going to have repercussions to that, to the health of the body. But the sad thing is that because these women are predominantly eating a lot of perhaps vegetables, they don't actually realize that it's not necessarily doing them good. Because they are in too much of a low calorie standpoint. And so that's where I just feel there's such a big divide and a misconception amongst what is the correct way to lose weight. Not that there is a correct way to lose weight, but I do feel like this whole issue around low carb, low calorie is really, a lot of the information can be misguided. And there also is a lot of information that's very, very good and very educational. And I hope to guide women towards that so that they don't fear eating more food and that they don't fear eating carbohydrates. And I guess, you know, I feel like my place in this whole weight loss stuff is predominantly mindset and manifestation. But I feel injustice if I'm not actually sharing with you some of the practical things that I've learned along my journey and some of the things that actually changed my life in terms of strategy and practical stuff to do with having a slow metabolism. Because if you've followed my story, you'll know that I had a very slow metabolism and I felt like anytime I ate carbohydrates, I'd gain weight. And if I ever had a cheat meal, I would gain weight. Like, and I'd be afraid of food because I literally was capable of gaining 5 to 10 pounds what felt like overnight. And so most definitely, if you can relate to this, then this episode is definitely for you. So I think that listening to my healthy eating, if you're eating healthy, I think it's episode number 6, would go on nicely with this episode. So check that episode out as well. But I just want to say something before I continue about keto diets, because I know that a lot of people have had success with keto diets, and I'm really, really happy for the people that follow keto and genuinely feel like they feel freedom around eating keto and they lose weight, and I'm really happy for them. But there's also the people that want to copy these people that have had success with keto and then get upset when they either can't stick to it or that the results aren't maintainable. And here's the, just let's just talk just kind of scientifically what's happening here. So if you're following a really like westernized diet and you're eating a lot of processed carbohydrates and you're eating a really high calorie diet because you're eating a lot of calorie dense foods, and then suddenly you go keto, you're most definitely going to lose weight because you're lowering your calories now, because when you switch to a keto diet, you're not going to be able to consume that many calories, because now your options for high density foods, even though fat is quite calorie dense, it's still very difficult to consume enough calories if you're not having the foods that are combined with high carb, high fat. So foods become really calorie dense when they're processed and combined in that way. And when you cut those out, even though you're consuming a high fat diet, it becomes really hard to consume a lot of calories. And that's why you lose weight. You lose weight because you're in a calorie deficit, right? It's not some magical thing that happens when you start eating clean foods. I think this is the biggest misconception out there, is that, you lose weight when you eat healthy foods, but it's not about that. It's about being in a calorie deficit, and that's the real important thing to understand. Now, with keto, and like I said, when you're jumping from high carb to low carb, like, you are going to lose weight, but like I said, what happens when your body adapts to that low carb and suddenly you've plateaued in weight, or you feel like every time you do eat carbohydrates, you put on weight really easily? It becomes really frustrating mentally. Sorry about my dog. Anyway, it becomes really frustrating mentally because we follow these fad diets, or we follow these diets that tell us to cut out certain foods. So cut out grains, or cut out, you know, eat lots of vegetables, have your protein, you know, have your meat and veg and stuff like that. And it's like, no, but you're really lowering your calories. You are, like, unless you've actually done counting and tracking, you won't realize that when you have just your steak and your veg, or your chicken breast and vegetables, and I mean, even if you dress it up a little bit, have some nuts or whatever, you're probably still in a really low calorie diet. And that's the thing, when women are eating a lot of salads and stuff like I used to, it's like, no wonder you have metabolic damage, no wonder you struggle with a slow metabolism. And so that's why I want to give you some practical strategies, but also some mental tips to get yourself out of this rut, because you can, like, you absolutely can. Like I've said, I was very much in a metabolic damage place, metabolically damaged place, like I said. I was the queen of dieting and I had been low carb for probably most of my 20s, and I still have come out of that and feel better than ever around eating carbohydrates, and I've been able to maintain my weight much, much better than ever in my life. So there's always hope for you, okay? Now, what pretty much like I want to say around this stuff is I'm going to talk about macros and I'm going to talk about reverse dieting. So like I said, I'm going to talk about some practical strategies today, and then I'm going to tie in some of the mental things that might come up when you do decide that you want to experiment with these things. So basically, we've got macros. So what are macros? When you hear the word macros, it's just shortened for macronutrients. So it's not like some fad name. It's actually like a scientific term, macronutrients. So from a nutrition standpoint, when you are talking about nutrition, right, you have the main things that you're eating are macronutrients and micronutrients. So macronutrients are your carbohydrates, protein, and fat. And then you have micronutrients, which is your vitamins, your minerals, etc., etc. So you need to be aware of both in order to have what your body needs to carry out its functions, right? You need macronutrients and you also need micronutrients, right? So let's talk about these. Now, people might argue that carbs aren't essential, and I'm not going to get into that. I hate talking about that kind of stuff because I've been through so much dieting trauma that I just do not want people to tell me that carbs aren't necessary when I've had so much negative experiences with cutting out carbs and how much positive experience I've had with increasing them. So I'm not going to get into any of that science because it's overwhelming, and it's not, I just don't think it's necessary for you guys, because if you want to try this, and you'll see for yourself the benefits of getting out of this low carbohydrate rut. I'm just like, seriously, it's ridiculous what some people say out there. And it's just like, what they're doing is just cherry picking science. And like I've said before, if you have a real tunnel vision when it comes to science, you can get yourself into a lot of trouble when you start listening to people who cherry pick science, and then they'll start saying that carbs aren't essential and showing all this evidence of that. And it's like, but dude, have you looked at XYZ studies that show the issues with cutting down carbohydrates long term? So anyway, I'm not going to get into that because I get a little bit like upset with women who, unfortunately, or even men too, who might fall victim to people who want to cherry pick science or want to say this stuff about carbohydrates. And it's just, I just don't think it's really helping people long term. But anyway, I'm going to talk to you about macros. So like I said, macros are just short for macronutrients. And I think it's just a way of saying that what you're doing with macros is you're counting how many grams of carbohydrates, protein, and fat you're eating, basically. Macros is pretty much calorie counting, okay? And I don't want you to feel like calories are a dirty word and that calories aren't necessary. And the problem with this whole mentality around calories being bad is because low calories is bad, like I've said previously, because it's causing you to have metabolic damage if you're lowering your carbohydrates and your calories too much. Now, that's where the negative stigma around calorie counting has come, and also it's come from the dieting mindset. But calories in itself is not a dirty word, and it's not a word to be feared. Now, What I mean by so macronutrients and calorie counting is basically that you're counting how many grams. So each, like for example, carbohydrates, protein and fat each have a certain number of calories per gram. Off the top of my head, I think it's four calories per gram of carbohydrates, 4 grams. 4 calories. Oh my God, I'm so like mixing it up. I didn't write any notes, so this is just off the top of my head. Protein is 4 calories, fat is 9 calories per gram, I think. Let me look it up. Calories per gram. I should have done some research. Yeah. Okay, so my memory is pretty good. So protein and carbohydrates both contain 4 calories per gram, while fat provides 9 calories per gram. Okay, so that's pretty much what we're talking about in terms of counting macros. You're counting like really basic kind of science around calories and how many calories is provided per gram of food. So that's what macronutrients is, kind of like a really rough summary. Like I said, I know about this stuff, but I'm like so much more passionate about the mindset stuff. But I feel like you need to know this too. So basically what you're counting a certain amount. Like for example, the wording that we would use is like a macro split. Right, you'd be talking about the ratios of each macros. So what you might see are numbers like 50, 30, 20, right? You might see the numbers with the backslash in between. You'll see a 50 and then you'll see a PCF. So it stands for proteins, carbohydrates and fats, and then it'll have a number next to it. And what that is that's your macro split. So what it's saying that, for example, like you have your certain number of calories each day and then you've split that up into different macronutrient splits. So for example, a C with the 50 next to it means that 50% of your calories are coming from carbohydrates. And then you have your like P, which might be 30% is coming from blah, blah, blah. Or if you're like low carb, then you might switch up the ratio there and have P is 30, but fat is 40 or something like that. And it adds up to 100%, right? And so there's apps for this. Like when I did it, I used MyFitnessPal, and then you can manually change the ratio that which you're doing it, and then experiment that way. Now, the problem is that a lot of calorie calculators and even the MyFitnessPal calculators, they may put you in the wrong calorie range that you should be having. And I think that's where people have struggled before with calorie counting, because you might be like, oh, I want to lose weight really quickly. I'm going to pop my details into this calculator, and then the number you get is a very large calorie deficit. And that's where I used to have bad experiences with calorie counting, because I was putting myself on a 1200 calorie diet, which is absolutely ridiculous, and way too low for me and for a lot of people. Actually, you'd be surprised at how low 1200 calories is compared to how much we are capable of eating, especially these days with the really calorie dense foods that we do expose ourselves to. Our metabolism is able to handle more than you might think. anyway, so that's what counting macros is all about. And a lot of people have had a really bad experience with either counting macros or counting calories. And that's where that is more to do with the dieting mentality, and it's more to do with either having negative experiences with dieting. And that's more from a mindset perspective. If I'm being completely honest with you, there's no you can't demonize calories. Like, if you eat too many calories, like, calories count is what I'm trying to say. And like, you can't argue that. You can't. It's not just about healthy eating, because there's plenty of people out there who eat very, very healthy and they still don't lose weight because they're just not applying any knowledge to do with calories, or they've got metabolic damage. And yeah, it's so much more than that. But at the same time, like I've said before, I've seen shifts in my metabolism based on my relationship with food. And this makes sense scientifically too, okay? Like, it makes sense because of leptin. And leptin is a massive, like, it's your satiety hormone. And not only do carbohydrates influence your leptin, they help you feel satisfied, but mentally, leptin is really important, and that's why your relationship with food matters so much, which I discuss deeper in my courses. But basically, let's talk about reverse dieting. So what is reverse dieting? Reverse dieting is, like, it sounds like a pretty weird word when I think about it, but basically it's the opposite of dieting. It's, so when you diet, you're trying to put yourself in a calorie deficit. So you're lowering your calories. So for example, you go on a 1200 calorie diet and you're in a calorie deficit. Now, if you plateau at 1200 calories, then what do? Where do you go from there, right? Because your body's going to adapt to this 1200 calorie diet. And some people then lower their calories again. And it's like, okay, well, I'll go to 800 calories. Or, like, this might not even be that you might be doing this without even counting. And you'd be surprised that you're actually eating 800 calories a day and you don't know, right? So you could be doing this just because you're on a keto diet or you're fasting and you don't realize that you're doing this. So that's where the dangers come in with, like, this non-educated dieting or following like cookie cut meal plans. That's where this becomes a big issue, when you've got people who aren't experienced giving out meal plans and they're cookie cut meal plans, or, hey, this worked for me, so it's going to work for you type stuff. Or, like, you know, this combination of foods will help your hormones and blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, no, but you don't understand that this person is in a large calorie deficit and you're just putting them in an even bigger calorie deficit, which is only going to cause more metabolic damage long term, even though they do get weight loss short term. And that's where I get, yeah, it's frustrating with the amount of meal plans that you get out there that are just not helping long term for anyone. And yeah, it's hard because they do get initial results. So they do have the before and after pictures to pop up for people to misguide them. And it's like, hey, I lost weight so quickly, that means this diet must be good. And it's like, no, you've lost weight quickly due to putting yourself in too much of a calorie deficit, which is going to be hard for you long term to figure out your metabolism and why you struggle so much around your weight, like, and why you've had weight issues for such a long time. So anyway, I get off track because I'm like so passionate about this stuff, because I was struggling, yeah? That's why, because I was that person that was buying every single meal plan out there that was doing me harm instead of good, because I was so naive in thinking that because something worked for somebody else that it was going to work for me. And that's not how it works, yeah? And so what reverse dieting is that instead of putting yourself in a calorie deficit, you incrementally increase your calories. So for example, if you're a chronic dieter and your body's maintaining your weight at 1200 calories, you would increase the calories in a really small way. Like we're talking like 50 calories per day, or look, I'm not going to give you an exact number because I kind of just toyed with it myself, and there's probably other coaches out there that are more experienced in terms of they're so passionate about the science around reverse dieting. But I just want to stick to basics for you and give you what I've learned. But with basically, like, you'd be increasing your calories between like 50 to 100 per day. I don't know, maybe 100 might be too much depending on where you're at. It's like I said, everyone's different. But you're incrementally increasing your calories each day depending, you know, on who's your coach and whatever you're doing. But incrementally increasing your calories, and then you're increasing your metabolism. So eventually your body catches up to that. Now, so the main macronutrient that you want to be increasing that's going to help you increase your metabolism is actually carbohydrates. So carbohydrates are going to help you. If you increase your carbohydrates, you're going to increase your metabolism, right? And so you have to be strategic about how you do this, because if you've been low carb for such a long time, your body really has adapted to this, and you're going to have to be strategic about how you're increasing these carbs without feeling like you're putting on a lot of weight. And it's not okay. What I want to say right now is that there is no one out there, I believe, that can't benefit from this. And you have to be open-minded and also not let your feelings of your body. What I want to say is, right, I know that a lot of women are hyper aware of the bodily changes. And I used to be like this too. So you retain the tiniest bit of water and you can feel it because you're so hyper aware of any subtle changes in your body. And you take this subtle change as feeling heavier and that I'm getting fatter, because you're so hyper aware of any water or any kind of changes in your body, right? And so I just want to make it clear that when you're experimenting like this with reverse dieting, mentally you want to be in a position where you have changed your relationship with your body and your food so that you're not so hypersensitive and getting upset about minor changes. Because when you do start reverse dieting, in the very initial stages when you increase your carbohydrates, you will retain more water because your body's adjusting. So for me, I felt more like, I guess the word that some people use is fluffy, because you're retaining a bit more water. And then eventually your body catches up to this. And this is all very normal. And so a lot of women might freak out when they do this and then give up and conclude that it's not working. But you have to be open-minded and not fear gaining weight, because that's the really important thing, is to kind of surrender and to just surrender and go, I'm going to try this, and I'm open and I'm willing, and to seek out help if you need it and to do your research properly. But anyway, like with reverse dieting, so what my experience of it was that it was freaking amazing. Though I've mentioned it in another podcast where I was chronic low carb, chronic low calories, and a personal trainer told me to start eating 2,000 calories per day, and I thought she was insane, and she told me to eat more carbohydrates, and I thought, wow, you're crazy, I'm gonna get fat. And then I had already done a whole lot of, okay, so I already done a whole lot of mindset work prior to this point, eating psychology, overcame emotional eating, that kind of stuff. So I was already mentally in a pretty good place. So that's why I was able to apply my manifestation stuff and psychology stuff at this point, because I knew that stuff, right? And then combined all together, it was like magic, you know, like it was just really, really good. But my experience was that I went all in and I just started eating 2000 calories. And in the initial stages of eating more carbohydrates, yes, I was feeling more fluffy. And there was techniques that I used. I can't remember in depth of what I did, but I was weight training. I wasn't doing any cardio at that point. I was weight training, but I was lifting quite heavy. And I used that to my advantage in terms of increasing my carbohydrates and increasing to 2,000 calories. And then boom, like I started losing weight after it took several weeks or even months after I did that reverse dieting phase. And like I said in the beginning, it was really scary because it felt like I was putting on weight. Because when you start increasing carbohydrates, you do retain more water when you've been low carb. And that's why these days I don't retain as much water because I eat carbs consistently. So that's probably the biggest benefit for me now that I love, is that I don't retain so much water anymore because I eat consistently with my calories and my carbohydrate intake. So basically, yeah, like I did the reverse dieting and that was really good. Like I found it really good for me. Now, a lot of people struggle around whether or not to count macros because they come to me wanting freedom from food. So there's going to be some of you out there that are hating on me in the sense that you're like, but counting macros makes me feel like crap. And that's because you're traumatized by dieting. You're traumatized by the dieting mentality and you have a poor relationship with food. So then you've got the people out there who have trauma with counting macros, have trauma with the dieting mentality. And then you've got these coaches who are like, hey guys, like count freaking macros, like duh, just do it. And then that's where there's this clash on where for people like you and me, you get overwhelmed with what the fuck do I do? Like, I don't know what to do. I feel like a failure. I feel like this person who can't just like fucking get it done. Like, oh my God, what's wrong with me? And this is like the kind of stuff that starts going through your head. And that's where you need to stop and just get back on your own side. Like you're the fucking captain of your own ship, right? So just get back on your ship and be like, I'm the fucking captain. I'm good at everything. So like, as in, I'm good at maintaining what my body needs. I am the captain. I know what I need. I'm going to sort this shit out. And that's where you need to kind of empower yourself in knowing what's going to be best for you. And the way you know what's best for you is to use your thoughts and emotions to guide you and to also listen to your thoughts and listen to how they're reacting to certain things. And so if you're thinking about macronutrients, like what kind of thoughts come up? Look at your emotions, look at your thoughts and see what's coming up for you. And sometimes you can challenge these thoughts and then you'll still be able to count your macros in a way that isn't upsetting you anymore. But it just really depends. This kind of stuff is more stuff that you would work like one-on-one. Like this kind of stuff can be changed. Your relationship to dieting can be changed. Your relationship to food can be changed, right? And you can use strategies without feeling traumatized. But it comes with getting coached. And I feel like this kind of stuff needs to be catered to the individual. And it's hard if you don't have the knowledge and experience to back yourself up in doing this kind of stuff. And so, because you really, in my mind, right, you need to have both the strategy. So if you just get a coach, right, that's just really, really educated in the science of macronutrients, it's going to be great. But if they don't understand the psychology of somebody who has trauma and a poor relationship around food and dieting, then you're gonna have a tough time relating to each other, because they're not gonna understand your emotions around dieting and why it's so hard for you to do that stuff. And also, like, sometimes, you know, counting calories is the worst thing you can do if you're in a really bad place mentally with food and dieting, most definitely. And then you've got to heal through that first. But at the same time, for me, I did that emotional work for many, many years. And until somebody gave me the practical advice to count macros, my weight still didn't change. And because I was in a chronic like state of dieting, no matter what I did, I couldn't lose weight until I did a reverse diet. And then, boom, my weight dropped like crazy. And so that's why it's really important for me to educate you on this stuff. So, for example, like with intuitive eating, like I do think that you have to work on intuitive eating. And that's why, again, with just counting macros, it isn't enough if you're completely disconnected from your body. But on the other hand, with intuitive eating, sometimes for me, right, when I first started intuitive eating, I was a chronic dieter. So my idea of portions and like how I was relating to my body, the even though I was trying to be intuitively, I was fucked up because I had never experienced a healthy way of eating. So if you're a chronic dieter and you try to do intuitive eating, sometimes it's a bit messed up. And this was my experience, because you're so accustomed to dieting and you've never experienced what it's like to actually eat more food or feel good about eating, that intuitive eating alone might still just keep you in the chronic dieting patterns. And that's what I was doing. I thought I was trying to be an intuitive eater, but in actual fact, I was still lowering my calories too much. And when I opened up to the idea of counting macros and then eventually intuitively got used to this new amount of food, this new amount of carbohydrates, then it worked for me. And that's, I think, like there's a bit of confusion around whether or not to just focus on intuitive eating or if you need to combine intuitive eating with macros. And for me, I had to combine intuitive eating with macros. And I just think that it depends on how complex your issues are. And I was really fucked up. So if you're talking about the complexity of how things were, I think I was probably one of the most complex cases. So of course I had to use so many different strategies, but I guess that's where it's good, because I've got so much experience now in so many different ways that I've overcome my stuff. So I've combined it all for you. But basically, yeah, if you're having a tough time still with intuitive eating, maybe you do need to experiment with macros. Maybe, you know, you need to do that. And the key here is that you get used to the idea that there's no such thing as failing. And that's really where it is, because if you are so afraid of failure around counting macros and you allow yourself to get so super overwhelmed and then give up altogether because it's so emotional, that's more that you need to do some mental work. Maybe you need to stop the macros. Maybe you just need to focus on working on your thoughts and emotions, right? So that's where, when somebody asks me, it's like, I want to have freedom from food, but I don't understand, because I know that I need to reverse diet. I can tell by what I'm doing and the research that I've done, but mentally I want freedom around food because I've had so much trauma. And it's like, what you need is you need to be coached through your emotions. You need to be coached through your thoughts, and then the strategy that's correct for you will be able to be developed from that, because it's your mental health that matters the most out of this. And that's also coming from the perspective of law of attraction and manifestation. Like I keep on saying, you can know the strategy, yet there's people out there who still don't follow strategies, and it's got to do with their emotions. And so when you ask me, like, you know, you want freedom, of course there's ways in which to count macros and still be in a place of freedom. I know you think this sounds insane, but when you've, okay, let's talk about the dieting mentality for a moment, right? Let's talk about that. Because if you're counting, if you're saying to me, right, when I don't count macros and I eat what I feel like, right, you're eating intuitively or who knows whatever you're eating, you're non, like when you're not counting macros, and then suddenly I give you a macro split and it's like, you've got to eat this many grams of protein and this many grams of carbohydrates and this many grams of fat, and then suddenly you've got to follow this thing that's very, very different to what you're currently doing, right? And that's the problem, is that you're expected to turn your whole life upside down, to start counting this thing that you've never done before and start weighing food that you've never done before. And it feels awkward. You feel self-conscious because suddenly you've got to explain to everybody why you're weighing your food, why you're having to put everything into a fucking calculator, and you're having to use mathematics, and you're like, what the fuck? I'm trying to add all this shit up. Now, for me, I'm good at mathematics to a certain extent, so it wasn't that hard. But I can imagine for somebody that isn't good with maths, like, it's fucking overwhelming. And the other thing is too, is that suddenly you're like, oh man, like, I'm going over my carbs here, I'm going over, oh my god, like the grams on this, and oh, and it just gets freaking too much, and it's ruining your relationship with food because you're focusing on so much on these macros. And that's the thing, is that the problem with the dieting mentality is that you think if you're not following it perfectly you're a bad person. And it's like, no, you're fucking not a bad person for not being able to have that number of grams of protein in that day. Now, what's the fucking difference between, why is it people's mentality is that when they're on a diet, they have to be perfect? When they're not on a diet, they get freedom. That's the whole problem. Why can't you have more of a freedom mentality with being curious about your macros, being, oh, let's just play a game where I count macros for a bit and I'm not trying to stick within some crazy like guide where it feels too different to what I'm currently doing. Why don't I just track what I'm currently doing and figure out what the fuck I do right now? Like, that's, it's made so complicated when it's like, all you want to do is track what you do right now and see it as a game. Look at it from this place of curiosity with no judgment. If you actually want to count macros, if that's something that you want to see whether or not you can reverse diet, just track what you currently do. Like, that's it. And not get so emotional about it. The problem is that we attach so many emotions to action. And it's like that with anything in life. Things feel hard because we've attached so much emotion to it. And your self-worth is so based on how well you eat and your weight. And that's the issue. And you've got to be aware of that and detach from it. Because if you do want to like reverse diet and you want to count and track, then yeah, you've got to kind of short-term short-term stuff, maybe just detach a lot of emotion from it. And the way that I did it was that I was fucking aligned when I was doing it, and I was super aware of my emotions, and I didn't allow myself to get any overwhelm or any upset around counting my macros. And that's how I did it for a short term. And also the other thing is, like I said, I only did it short term. I see a lot of women who count macros and years later they're still counting macros. And it's like, look, if you're a fitness competitor and you've got to maintain a certain physique, fine. Do what you need to do. I cannot do that shit because I've got a history of eating disorders, and I could not imagine myself trying to get up on stage looking lean as fuck, because my priority is my mental health. My priority is that I'm happy, and I'm happy even if I'm like not, I don't have six pack abs. Like, I think I look pretty fucking good. So it's that's good enough for me. And so for somebody like that who isn't a fitness competitor, you don't need to be worried about hitting your macros perfectly. You don't need to be worried about like all that shit of counting macros and weighing perfectly and all that stuff. Like, you just want to be happy. You just want to have some freedom and you want to look good still, right? And so that's where I think that also a lot of people have this perfectionism mindset, and also some of the coaches out there that are giving macros, maybe they do like have this real perfectionism and dieting stuff, and they want their clients to succeed, which isn't a bad thing, but maybe they're pushing them. And I know that some women had said that to me that their coaches made them feel bad when they didn't hit their macros. And it's like, but that's again a mental thing where you've got to not let yourself feel bad by other people, in a sense that you control your emotions. Nobody can make you feel bad. And I know this is hard because people, you know, I'm sensitive. So yeah, I get upset easily when people say bad things or say, like, make me feel a certain way. But at the end of the day, I've got to go inwards and check out my inner world and like push, like make myself feel better, right? And so that's what you've got to do when somebody's made you feel bad about counting macros, or you've had trauma around dieting. Like, you've got to go inwards and you've got to check out what's going on within yourself. And whether or not, like, you got to fix your thought patterns, all the stuff that I talk about in my other podcasts. Like, there's the main thing is mentally, you can't lose weight if your thought patterns and your beliefs don't align what you want. And you can't lose weight with a poor relationship with food and expect to keep it off long term. This is just, that's just it. Like, that's what actually matters. And this macro stuff, this reverse dieting stuff is fucking awesome. It is. Like, and it helps a lot of people out there. And that's why I've got to educate you on it. But at the same time, like, your priority is your mental health always. And there's ways around coaching so that you can improve your relationship with food. And eventually, if you want, you can count macros and reverse diet. It's a fucking journey, right? It's a journey. And go easy on yourself and put your mental health first. That's probably the advice that I can give you. And you're going to eventually get there. And you can short-term use reverse dieting as a crutch while still pretending you have freedom with food. And that's literally what I did. Is during that short time that I counted macros, I counted macros without attaching emotion to counting macros. I was detached emotionally from it being this scary thing that meant many things. Like, it meant that I was a chronic, like it meant that I was obsessed with diet or dieting, or it meant that I was a weirdo that was weighing their food, or it meant that I was a failure if I didn't hit my macros. Those are the things that are wrong with counting macros, not the counting macros or tracking things itself. Worrying about having to fit some perfect ratio that a coach gave you, rather than just experimenting and having a playful approach about it, and being curious about how much, like, you actually feel like eating, how much food does it take for you to feel satisfied, etc. And also the other thing is, when you're increasing carbohydrates and you get hypersensitive about the water weight change in your body and being so emotionally affected by shifts in your body. When your body shifts in weight, it shouldn't affect you emotionally. That is when you have a good relationship with your body, is when your weight fluctuates and your water weight fluctuates, but it doesn't affect you mentally. That is when you're aligned, right? And that's the place that you have to strive to get in order to be a vibrational match to the losing weight part. So anyway, that's all I have for today. I know this podcast is getting a bit long, and I hope I didn't ramble a lot today, because I am a little bit tired this week. I had a busy week last week, so hopefully you still got something out of today's episode, but next week I'll be hopefully fully recharged, and I can come at you with some more stuff that will hopefully help you and hopefully get you on track to reaching your goals and manifesting weight loss and manifesting happiness and all the good stuff, right? So I love you, babes, and have a good rest of the week, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you loved this episode, I'd love for you to leave me an iTunes review. Don't forget to follow this podcast for more uplifting teachings to come. For more tips, inspiration, and teachings, come follow me on Instagram at NoDietBabe, or check out my website, NoDietBabe.com. Until I see you next time, babes. Lots of love.